So a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments, talking to her fifth grade class. And from going through the commandments and explaining that one of the important commandments for them, which was honor your mother and your father. And then the teacher asked those little assembled cherubs in her class, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? One little girl raised her hand and quickly said, oh yes, yes, it's thou shalt not kill. I thought it was appropriate since Sunday school downstairs is starting. Upstairs Sunday school has been going on since the end of August. That's the adult class. My class meets over here, and then the other adult class is going to meet in the conference room, once again, practicing all our CDC guidelines items. This opening joke highlights the fact of John's letter to the churches at large. He highlights another level of commitment for us, a level of commitment, what it means to follow God, to say Jesus is our Savior, to be able to announce to the world that I am one of them, meaning a Christian. And his concept is, we're to keep the commandments. John used the controversy that existed around him to highlight a very important thought, that belief, in other words, I think it, isn't enough. Faith goes into action. Belief saying, oh, I believe, say the sky is blue, does not alter how you act. That means you have to go into the aspect of faith. I have faith that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And the moment we say that, that means now behavior comes in line with our belief structure. The controversy that existed around the Apostle Paul at that time was a group called the Gnostics. They wanted to take the basic Christian faith, the message of Jesus Christ as Savior, and they made it complex. Gnostic is actually a Greek word meaning special knowledge or more knowledge. And what they were then saying is, you need to have deeper knowledge. Follow us, we'll give you the deeper knowledge more than Jesus Christ. And John's like, whoa, 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 no, 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 no. All we need to know is found in Jesus. He is the way, he's the one we can follow, he's the light of God, he's the bread from heaven, and that's what his gospel is all about. John was highlighting, there is no special knowledge needed. We only need to know Jesus. Now, this had an interesting piece to play in that early church. Is belief enough, or is it belief and faith needed? There's a song that when I was first became a pastor, just really hit me. It was by a group called Petra. Now, if you don't know Petra, that's okay. It was one of those original Christian rock groups back all the way back into the early 90s. They started in the 80s and went into the 90s. They had a song that really touched me. It was called Beyond Belief. In other words, go beyond your belief and go to the place of faith. Here's how the song went. This is the one of the lines and then into the chorus. It goes, leap of faith without a net makes us want to hedge our bet. Waters never part until our feet get wet. There is a higher place to go. It's beyond belief, beyond belief. Where we reach the next plateau, beyond belief, beyond belief. And from faith to faith we grow, towards the center of the flow, where he beckons us to go, beyond belief, beyond belief. That's what John's letter reminds us to do, to go beyond belief. It's not enough to say, I know Jesus. We have to go to the connection of head and heart to say, I now follow Jesus. In order to get to this fundamental thought, John had this interesting play on words. That verse 3, Chris, can you go back one slide to the verses there? Verse 3, and I wouldn't translate it again because it's an interesting, fun translation. But the way I translate it again goes like this. This we know that we have come to know. Now that's an interesting, weird play on words, but in that sentence, that first sentence in verse 3 are two words we translate know, in the English language. But in the Greek language, they are two different words. Same base word. This is what they can do in Greek. And then add a beginning onto it. And it changes kind of the meaning of the word. So here's how it really goes. This we intellectually understand. We've come to know intimately. And what John is telling us here in this passage is the special knowledge is already found in Jesus Christ. That which we know here in our head, that God's sending a Savior, that God's sending a Messiah, we've now experienced Him in a first-hand format, intimately, because we now walk with our Savior. That's what John's trying to tell us. Thank you, Chris. You can go back to the slide screen for the... There you go. And so what John is highlighting, the fact here, is that we need to connect what we think and what we do. John wants us to know that once we've met the Savior in our head, the book knowledge, that we need to follow the Savior in our heart. That's the intimate experience part. And we do this, John highlights, by keeping the commandments. So joke number two. In case you cannot find the commandments, here's what Moses said. After smashing the commandment, the Ten Commandments down, Moses said, it's okay, don't worry, people. I have a backup in the cloud. Did it? In fact, he went back up to get one out of the cloud of God. Okay, you get it. Okay. In case you missed that one, that's okay. You can go back on Facebook and look at it again because it's recorded. The amazing thing about the commandments is they do guard us and they do protect us. In this verse 3, when John highlights to know God is to know Him through the following of the commandments, the word for keeping commandments is the word guard. And this is the wonderful thing about the Greek language. Their words, actually, you could pull them apart and say, oh, wow, there's multiple meanings here. When we keep the commandments close to our heart, when we keep them in our behavior structure, we literally are guarding who we are. We're guarding our heart. We're guarding our thoughts. We're protecting ourselves. And the end part of that, verse 8, we're protecting ourselves from the forces of darkness. That's what we're protecting ourselves. Spiritually, by doing the commandments, we spiritually guard ourselves from destructive thoughts. Now, in counseling, and I do a lot of counseling, I ask for people to do behavior change. This is one of the things that I've learned. And you could actually call me a behaviorist, but in reality, I do better. I talk about what's behind the behavior as well as what is your behavior. But I ask for a behavior change first. And the reason for this is once you start doing something again and again and again, and it becomes natural, guess what follows along? Your head and your heart. And even though I'm forcing a person to do this, the end result is behavior change, heart change, head change. Let me give you an example. So for teenagers, I talk about use of language. Because in our culture today, it's vulgar language is popular, if not prominent. And so what I usually oftentimes say is, there's so many words in our English language, why use those that intentionally offend? And so I say, Google behavior change. And pretty soon, when you do your behavior change, and again and again and again, it comes without even thinking. Your heart's changed, your head's changed. So I suggest if you hurt yourself, yes, you can use a four-letter word. I hear a gasp out there. And the four-letter word is ouch. Now, it's interesting when you think about it. Automatically, when you say, ouch, you've now made a head change, I'm going to use something that's not quite some ooh from deep, dark recesses. I haven't offended anybody. In fact, we've had a good laugh. Because when I hurt myself and I say, ouch, we're all like, did he just say that? This is kind of a funny moment. And so this is the key that John is telling us here in this passage. Follow the commandments. We keep them. It guards our heart. And in guarding our heart, we can follow our Savior closer. As we follow our Savior closer, we're more willing to keep the commandments. You see the big circle here. This big circle of life. Now the key here is we need to know the commandments. That's what John started in verse 7 by saying. I'm going to give you a new one. We're going to do the old ones. Strange as they may sound, Gallup, in a poll that was only 8 years ago, 2012, more people in the United States of America could name all the Brady children than they could the Ten Commandments. You know, Brady Bunch children? That show's gone long ago? 35% knew all six of them. But only 28% knew all the Ten Commandments. So in order to follow the commandments, guess what we need to do? We need to know them. And then John highlighted the words of Jesus in verse 8. where he says, we really do give you a new command. In reality, we go to the core of the commandments. Why do we follow? Why do we listen to God? Why do we do what God's asked us to do? You know, love the Lord your God, have no idols, don't use his name in vain, etc. Why do we do this? This is the new commandment. And in John 15 of the Gospel, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So the core of the Ten Commandments is love for God. The core of our lives then, get it, should be love for God. Now the reason why we can love God, we find in our table before us. I want to highlight, this is the first communion we've had here at St. Andrew since January. January celebrated communion. We were scheduled to celebrate communion on Monday, Thursday, but if you remember what that was, middle of the pandemic. We were scheduled to celebrate communion on Easter, and that was in the middle of the pandemic. We were scheduled to celebrate communion in July, but that was still in the pandemic. And so here in October, in which we can say worldwide, because this is a worldwide pandemic, we're joining together to say that we are going to face this crisis together. We're going to show our faith together, not just here in our church outside of Williamsport, but worldwide. This table does express God's great love for us, because in it we find two very basic elements that have incredibly symbolic meanings. We have the bread. And of course, without bread, without this sustenance, much of the world would starve. They'd go hungry. And so this is a sustaining force in the world. And in the days of Jesus, bread was a sustaining force. They carried it around with them often. And when Jesus decided to feed 5,000, he didn't use bagels to form bread. He used loaves of bread to feed the masses. But this bread has a symbolic attribute to it as well. And the symbolic attribute is it represents Jesus Christ, person of Jesus. And so as we eat of this bread, we're acknowledging that Jesus has touched us and is feeding us physically, but at the same time, he's the bread from heaven, and he's feeding us spiritually. We need Jesus. He came to earth to show his love for us. That's why it's represented in bread. And then here, the juice, you have it in your containers, the juice highlights the fact that there is a new covenant, and it's shed in the blood of Jesus Christ, a covenant that's based on love. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. I mean, he already had heaven. He went to the cross for us, to acknowledge that he wants us to be with him at a very deep level. And so the blood represents a forgiving aspect. And in the blood of Jesus, we are all forgiven for every sin we can ever commit. The blood of Jesus is so powerful also. When we align ourselves and follow Jesus, it helps us not to sin. So we don't have to stay in this circle of sin. We can now break it and be what God's called us to be, saints. As we share in this moment, realize that God is present with us. This is what we call a sacrament. It's a sacred moment. It's one of the times in which we know God is inherently, completely, spiritually present. And to acknowledge that, we have these physical elements before us. This is the table of our Lord. He invites all those who trust in him. Whether you're from the north or the south, the east or the west, no matter where you may find yourselves, spiritually and physically, you're invited to come to this table and share this special moment.